Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Man, it's good to be in church this morning. Hey, we are here, and this month we're really casting the vision for who we are as a church community and who we are as a community of faith. And we kind of put a theme over this month. We said we're vision builders. And did you know that God actually, He has a vision. He's got a dream. And that vision is all about where we are today. That's the church. In the book of Chronicles, there's a great scripture, and it says this. He says, "And the house that is to be built for the Lord shall be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all the land." See, God's vision is that God has a house. He says, my desire, my heart, my passion, my purpose is to build my house on the earth. You see, what God's vision is to build His house because He wants to bring His kingdom to earth so that He would have a house where people would encounter the love of God and have their lives transformed by Jesus. And we say, well, how does God then build His house? How does He do it? Well, God builds His house through people. God builds His house through you and I. People who've had a personal experience of God's love and God's grace, and that many of for us here this morning, and that God fills our heart with a vision to build His house so that as many people as possible could experience what we've experienced. It's called being a vision builder. We're here, and I believe the greatest calling that's upon our life is to build God's house and to build it, as He says here, a house that's not just any house, but He said, my desire, my vision for the house of God is that it would be exceedingly magnificent. It would be famous, and it would be filled with glory. And I love that. And so this morning, I want to speak this morning on how you and I can be vision builders with our life. What does it mean to be a vision builder? What does it mean to be a person who is partnering not only together, but we're partnering with God to bring His kingdom to earth? And to see His house expand so that many, many people would come and discover His grace and have, as we heard this morning from Manny and Sammy, have their lives transformed, but we would see many others as well. And you know, there's many ways that you and I can actually be a vision builder. There's many different ways. This morning we have, I think it's nearly 25 people who are out doing this, the step one of the growth track, and they're starting four steps. And at the end of those steps, it's all about for you and I discovering the purpose that God has for our life. In other words, we have these thing called gifts that lie on the inside of us, that all of us have them. And we had a couple up here this morning who were talking about the gifts of God in their life. And one of those gifts was the gift to worship, the gift to sing. And I don't have that gift, but I know that there are some people here, and I'm so thankful they have, and that's a gift that they use. It's a God-given gift, and God gets on that gift and then uses that gift to be able to make an eternal difference in the lives of others. But you have gifts and you have abilities. The Bible says God put those gifts, those abilities inside you even before you were born. And He says He's ordained the days of your life. And so when you and I actually can come into a place to discover that not only does God want to bring me into a place where I could have this life-changing relationship with Christ, but actually God calls me then to discover this thing called my purpose. And my purpose, when I align that purpose or the gifts inside me with His purpose, then I discover that actually God's put me on this planet here to have an incredible influence, an incredible impact in the lives of people. And so we want to see every person in our church come to that place. Those four steps that we have is that we would know God, that you and I would get connected, that God's called us to do life together, that we would discover purpose, and then finally we would make a difference. And this morning, you know, I was thinking about our church just filled with magnificent people. And I think it's around about 250 people every single Sunday morning who are part of our dream team. And so who are finding that they have gifts and they have abilities and they can use those to glorify God and serve others. And we have the most magnificent kids leaders. We have people out in the cafe who, praise God, do great coffee in the mornings to kind of help me on my Sunday morning journey. We have people in our church who know how to worship. We have incredible stewards who serve. We have people who have the gift of hospitality. We have group leaders in our church. We have people who've discovered purpose and then have locked that purpose or that sense of their gifting into God's purpose. But another way that you and I can actually, I believe, be vision builders is that you and I can not only give of our gifts, but actually God would have you and I also give of our finances as well. And so this morning, I want to teach on the gift of giving, but particularly I want to speak on this morning and do a teaching this morning on the power of the tithe. And the reason I want to start by talking about the power of the tithe this morning is that I first discovered the gift of giving, the power of the tithe, when I was 18 years old. And I first came to this church, and then after I first discovered a relationship with Christ, we had pastors and we had leaders in the church who taught this principle in the Bible called the power of the tithe. And I'd never heard that principle before. But when they began to teach from the Word of God about the power and the promise and the principles of the tithe, it began to, over a period of weeks and over a period of months, it began to resonate in my heart, and I began to do that. And I discovered that actually that there were principles in the Word of God that if I began to live those principles out in my life, they were there to help supercharge my Christian life. They were there to help me live the kind of life that God had promised that I could live, which was an abundant life, a life to all its fullness. And so when I was 18 years old, I was a uni student. And so every week I'd get like this thing called Oz Study, which would help me to kind of pay some expenses. And I also had a part-time job. My part-time job when I was 18 years old was working at a place called Crazy Clark's. And my official job at Crazy Clark's was I was the guy out in the back storeroom who was there to, I call it, stomp boxes. That was my official job. I would just, and I want to tell you right now, I was a great box stomper. I was up there with the best of them. I didn't quite figure out at the time they weren't ready to actually release me on the floor, hence why I was at the back stomping boxes. But that was my part-time job, and with my Oz study, and as I heard the principle and the power of the tithe, I began to do it. I think I was earning about $120 a week. And I just began to tithe this $12 a week and just began to do that. And what I've discovered, and I've been doing that since I was 18 years old, so over the last 20 plus years, I've discovered the incredible power and the blessing of the tithe in my life. Not only have I discovered it, but actually I know countless other people have discovered that same blessing in their life as they have put into practice, I believe, one of the most powerful principles in the Bible. But here's what I've discovered. The most powerful principles in the Bible are oftentimes the most contested. They are. Like, for example, speaking in tongues. Getting water baptized. I love how we were hearing about that this morning. Getting water baptized is one of the most powerful principles we'll find in the Bible. The principle of getting filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Healing. You know, oftentimes the most powerful principles that are in the Word of God are the most contested, sometimes by quite religious people as well. And they can oppose that. But actually behind that, there's an enemy. And he opposes these things because he knows the power that can be unlocked in our life when we begin to live out these principles in our life. And in our church, I was thinking, man, I was like, why? Well, I've got the topic this week to preach on the gift of giving and the power of the tithe. I thought, why? God, why should I be preaching to a church that's already super generous the power of giving and the power of the tithe? And I thought to myself, here's the reason why. Because someone, in fact, we had not just senior pastors and founding pastors and Gordon and Joe who did this, but actually many other leaders who, when I was a teenager, taught me that principle and enabled me to put that place in my life. And as I look back, I think, God, there has been so much blessing, so much of your favor that's come because somebody taught me that. And you know what? I believe this as a church, we should always be committed to teaching and bringing the principles of the Word of God and being able to see those principles demonstrated and performed in each of our lives. And I'm so thankful that I get to be in a church that teaches generosity and that teaches giving, because I've discovered that giving is actually, it's God's way. And so my message this morning, I want to talk about the principles, the purpose, the promise, and the power of the tithe in our life. And so this morning, if you're already a tither, then this will be it'll be a great encouragement to you. It'll strengthen your faith and help you access the power and the promise of the tithe. And maybe this morning, if you're not in that space, just open up your heart and mind, because my aim this morning is to not get money off you. My aim is to get blessing to you so that you would understand how God's word works. And so this morning, I want to give you some principles of the tithe. Are you ready to go this morning? Here's the first principle. The tithe, it means tenth. The tithe means tenth. So in the Hebrew, the word tithe, it means 10% or a tenth. I grew up going to a traditional church as a kid, and I was taken there. And when I'd go through the service, my highlight of this particular service that I'd go to was the part where they would pass around the offering plate. And it wasn't like a bag as we passed around here, it was a metal plate. And I would always sit there beside my parents, and I'd be asking, I'd say, "Mom, Dad, have you got some coins?" And the reason I wanted to get the coins was that I knew that if I could get the coins, I could lob them into the offering plate, which was metal, and I just loved the sound that it would make. It was a very quiet church, a very traditional church, and it was like this clanging of coins. Like, that's awesome, you know, and yeah, you know, small things in me, small minds, yeah. But I used to love doing that. And but here's the thing, is that that church, it never taught on tithing. It actually really didn't teach on giving at all. And so because I was never taught on tithing, we just tipped. We just sort of made a donation, and we just gave what was kind of left in our pockets at the time. But the tithe, actually, as it's taught in the Word of God, the tithe, it means to give God a tenth, to give God 10%. The second principle is this, is that we're to tithe on the financial increase in our lives. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase." So there's two words in the Bible. The word, we find the word tithe, and we find the word first fruits that's used all through the Bible. Basically, those two words are interchangeable. They really mean the same thing. But the word first fruits, it was because they had an agricultural society. So you'd have crop farmers, you'd have sheep farmers. And so if you're a crop farmer, as an example, when it was time to bring in the harvest of the crop, what God would ask for his people was that they would bring the first fruits. They would bring the first tenth of their increase, of their harvest, and they were to bring that to the house of God. That was their offering that they were to bring. So the principle was that you would tithe on the increase that comes into your life. And you say, well, what does that mean for today? Because probably many of us here are not crop farmers or sheep farmers. Well, our increase today, it's our wage, or it's bonuses. It could be a government payment, or it could be a salary, or it could be the net profit of something that I have sold. For example, you might buy some jousting sticks. Tell me he's dreaming. You might buy some jousting sticks for $50, and then you sell those jousting sticks for $150. So my net profit is $100. Yes, that's right, $100. So it's the tithe on the increase that I've made in our life. So we tithe, the principle in the Bible as it's taught is we tithe on the financial increase that comes into our life. Here's another principle. The tithe is always marked as being the first. It's the first. It's not the last, or it's not the second last, but the principle of the tithe is the principle of the first things. Exodus 23 verse 19 says, "Bring the best of the first fruits of your land to the house of the Lord your God." So the principle is that we're to bring the first things to God. And so God's always looking for first. God's looking to be first place in our life. God's looking to be our first priority. The tithe is the principle of the first in practice. God, I bring you the first because, God, it's my way of saying to you, God, I'm putting you first in my life. And it's like I when I do our sort of weekly internet banking, and I have a whole list of things that I need to pay, I try to consciously make a decision that the first thing I do is I put my tithe in, and then I put my vision builders in. And the reason I do that is not because I'm trying to get religious about it, but I'm trying to engineer this idea in my life that I believe is all the way through the Word of God, that I want to put you first, God. I want to put you first in my time. I want to put you first with my finances. I want to put you first with my heart and my family. It's why people say, well, why is church on a Sunday? Well, actually, it's really the principle of the first in practice. What we're saying is, God, in the first of my week, the first day of my week, before we go to school, before we start our work routines and our week, God, I'm setting aside this time to worship you. I'm setting aside the first of my my week so that I may bring you glory and I may bring you praise. That's the principle of the tithe. That's the first. Another thing the Bible clearly says is that in the principle of the tithe is that we tithe to the local church. Exodus 23:19 speaks of bringing the best of the first fruits of your land to the house of the Lord, your God. So the house of the Lord, it's the church where we belong to. In Malachi, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. So there was a principle in the Old Testament here where people would bring the first fruits to this place called the storehouse. It was the local storehouse. They would do that because they were actually, in this time, they were supporting the priest. The priest wouldn't receive any wages at all in this particular time. And so everyone would bring the tithe in to support the priest and the priest's family as well in the context of the house of God. And so the principle here is simply this, that God's people, we bring the tithe into the local church. And so, for example, you may have a Compassion Child. Our church is just phenomenal in the sponsoring of Compassion Children. Go check out the wall there. I think we have over 240 Compassion Children that are sponsored by our church. Just amazing. And, you know, our family does that as well. And so if I give to my Compassion Child, it's not my tithe. It's an awesome thing to do, and it's me giving, but that's not the principle of the tithe. Or, for example, I may have a missionary overseas or a missions organization that I have a heart for and I support. And that's awesome. And again, that's a great expression of our giving in action, but that's not the tithe. Or I may have a neighbor and I just feel that they have a particular need and I decide that I'm gonna spend some money on buying them groceries this week, or I'm going to give them some money to bless them because that's what my heart's led to. That's awesome. And that's a great expression of giving, but that's not the tithe. The Bible teaches that we bring the tithe into the local church. The fifth one is this. This is a powerful idea through the Word of God. The tithe belongs to God and it's holy. You know, the word holy, it means to be set apart. So if I was to bring my family, I have three children. If I was to bring my family, Wendy and I, my children up here, and let's just say, because she's sitting on the front row and she'd probably like to hear this. Let's just say I took my daughter Sienna, who's 8 years old, and I lined her up here and I said, hey Sienna, you're really special. I'm gonna set you apart from the others, and you're mine. Sienna would think that's pretty awesome, wouldn't you, Sienna? I'd hesitate to say perhaps the other two children may not think that's as awesome if Dad was to do that. But it's kind of like this idea in the Bible. The word holy, it means that you set apart something. God calls us when we become His children. He says, you're holy to me. In other words, I've set you now apart. You're not just a part of creation. You're now my sons and daughters. You're mine. You're my possession. He says the same thing, really. He says the same thing about the tithe, Leviticus 27:30. And he says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So what God's saying is saying from my point of view, God's saying from my perspective, the tithe is set apart. It belongs to me. And so whether that's in our bank account or whether it's in our house or whether it's on things we've spent on or whether we've brought it to the house of God, from God's point of view, He's saying the tithe belongs to me and it's holy. It's set apart for me. And we find in the Old Testament there's a moment, and it's in the book of Malachi, which is it's kind of this moment that God has where He's talking to His people and He's saying, you've messed up when it comes to this principle here of the tithe, and I need to bring you back into alignment. And He says these words to them. He says, you're robbing God. And they're strong words, right? God set aside and says, you're robbing me. And they're like, what? What? God, how are we robbing you? Are you kidding me? And then God tells him, He says, you're robbing me because you're not bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse. See, what God was saying to him at this point here, He's saying, you don't understand. He says, that's mine. It's holy. I've set that apart. And I want you to bring that as an act of worship to me. And when you bring that as an act of worship to me, then things are going to begin to change over your life. He says, right now, it's like heaven is shut over your life. That's the words He used. He says there's these windows of heaven, which that represents God's favor and blessing. He says they're designed to be open over your life. They're designed so that I would pour out so much blessing, you've got not room enough to receive it. I want your vats to overflow. I want your life to experience the abundant blessing and favor. But he says, but because you don't understand this, he says, those windows have now shut. But if you will bring that in, he says, I will, the words he uses, he says, I will throw them open over your life. And I will pour it out so much, you don't even have enough room enough to receive it. And so what we find in here is this principle. God says, you know, the tithe that belongs to me, and when you get that revelation, understanding that it's to be given to God as an act of worship, we can discover the blessing and favor of God in our life in a way we could never engineer in our own efforts, in our own abilities, and even in our own talents. There's a story in the Old Testament which is a really interesting story. The guy is the leader of God's people at the time was a guy by the name of Joshua. And Joshua, he's moving the people of God into the promised land. The promised land, it represents for us right now, it represents the life that God has called us to live, an abundant life. It was to be a land that flowed with milk and honey. So they were to be set free from Egypt, where they worked 7 days a week and they battled and they fought and they just got by. So Egypt was the land of just getting by. And God was breaking them through the desert into a place where they would have more than enough. The imagery, a land flowing with milk and honey, it was a land of more than enough and abundance. But God had to teach them there was going to be a new way to live in the promised land. It wasn't going to be about slaving and working 7 days a week, battling to get by. But there was to be a whole new way, and there was to be a whole new economy that they needed to understand, they needed to work in. And so God actually starts to establish with them some principles of living in the promised land. And so he says to Joshua, the first city, Jericho, that you're going to take, he says, you're going to take this city. He says, but when you take this city, he goes, I want you to remember this, everything that's within that, this is the first city, everything that's within that first city, I want you to bring that as an offering to me. It's set apart. It's holy. After that, every other city you conquer, you can have it all. But I want you to bring that for me as an act of worship. And the Bible says that they win the victory. And the Bible says that actually all of them except for one person brought the spoils to the house of God. His name was Achan. He didn't tell anyone. He'd taken treasure and he'd hidden it away. In other words, he took what was God's, what was holy, and he hid it away for himself. And the Bible says that actually that caused some consequences to happen. They then moved to go and attack the next city to get the next victory, and they're soundly defeated. They begin to cry out to God, and what they begin to find is actually that God leads them to the fact that actually there had been a person who had not set apart to God. And so there was a lesson in it, and that was this, that when we give to God what's God's, we'll discover blessing. But if we withhold from God, we also discover there's consequence too. And that's what the book of Malachi is telling us. The book of Malachi says that actually you and I are in the driver's seat of whether the blessing of God is going to be open or shut over our life. And you and I, through our giving, can release God's abundant blessing into our life because the tithe belongs to God and it's holy. Here's the next principle. Tithing is about stewardship. Did you know that? Tithing is about stewardship. 1 Chronicles 29:14. I love this scripture. It says, but who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you, God? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. This is revelation right here. He said he's got this powerful principle locked into his mind, and he understands this idea. He says, I understand, God, that everything I have has come from you. Everything I am, God, has come from you. And therefore, God, it all belongs to you. You see, I believe the starting point of our lives is to understand that everything I have and everything I am is a gift from God. It's all God's. Even my very breath, the Bible says, is a gift from God. My life is a gift from God. My family is a gift from God. My finances are everything I have, it's a gift from God. And when I understand that everything I am and everything I have, it belongs to God, guess what happens? Then giving becomes easy. Because I understand that actually if you have gifted me all this in my life, he's saying, really, God, I'm not so much giving back to you, God, but I'm honoring you. And the same God who's poured out so much into my life is the same God that continues to replenish and bless my life as well. And so here's the thing, if when we believe that money and possessions, that they're all ours, guess what happens? They end up controlling us. God doesn't want you and I being controlled by money or controlled by possessions or controlled by anything else at all. God wants us to serve Him and know that everything we have in life is from Him. Here's the next principle. You know, tithing is actually a test. Tithing is a test. It's actually a test of our surrender to God. Do you know the number 10 in the Bible is actually, it means test. There were 10 plagues to test Pharaoh's heart. Jacob's wages were changed 10 times by Laban. Daniel in the Bible was tested for 10 days. There were 10 commandments in the Bible which tested our obedience. You see, tithing is a test of surrender to God. It's saying to God, Lord, not only are you my Savior, but you're Lord of my life. You're Lord of my finances. You're Lord of my future. And here's the eighth principle. Tithing is about setting the direction of my heart as well. Have you ever had someone who maybe lives in your neighborhood who brought a new car, and then pretty much every second day they're outside with their new car and they're washing their car and they're polishing their car and they're vacuuming their car and they're smelling the leather, the brand new leather in their car, and they're out there. I think we've probably all been there if we've had a new car before in some degree, because here's the thing, the principle in the Bible is this, is that, you know, my heart will follow where I put my money. My heart will follow where I put my treasure. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, this is an important principle in the Bible. It's saying that wherever I put my treasure, wherever I put my money, my heart will follow that treasure. So the power and the principle of this tithe is this. When we bring our tithe to God, it's my way of pointing my heart in the direction of God. It's saying, guess what? As I give, I actually set the affection of my heart towards you, God, because God, you are first in my life. I don't know if you've ever read much about a guy by the name of Colonel Sanders. I'm sure you've probably eaten some of Colonel Sanders' product, but if you ever read the story, it's a powerful story about persistence and about not giving up in life. And I was reading a story about Colonel Sanders, and this was in his 60s. And by this stage, he'd have about 4 or 5 years of success. And he's quite successful. And the story was about him coming into a church for the first time. And so Colonel Sanders, in his 60s, he came into church. And when he came into church, there was a preacher there. The preacher's name was Pastor Wayman Rogers. And so he preached. And then as he heard this message of salvation, as he heard the gospel preached, he responded to that. In fact, he came forward at the end of the service and Colonel Sanders was weeping. He was a man in his 60s, but he was bawling his eyes out. And he was there at the front with this pastor. And the pastor said to him, would you like to invite Christ into your life? Do you want to give your life? Do you want to surrender your life to God and be born again? And Colonel Sanders said, yes. But the interesting thing was straight after he said, yes, Colonel Sanders said, actually, Pastor, can I ask you? I said, can God help me to stop cussing? You see, he'd had this habit in his life of just, you know, swearing and blaspheming, and he just didn't think that would ever change. And the pastor said, yes, God can set you free, and I'll pray for you. And so the pastor prayed for him. And instantly, not only did Colonel Sanders give his life to Christ, not only did his life and his heart, he said, become completely changed in a moment. He said, once he walked out of that church that day, he said, I never swore again. I never had the desire to swear again. He said, it was like my language, my mouth was just instantly changed. Straight after that, he actually was due to have some surgery. He'd had some lumps, and they thought there was cancer that was there, and his pastor prayed for him, and actually Colonel Sanders got supernaturally healed. There was no traces of the cancer listed after that. And so here's the really fascinating part, though, too. About 3 or 4 weeks into his journey, the Colonel Sanders comes back to the church. He walks up to the pastor, and he says, hey, pastor, here's a check for you. And you got to remember, this is a long time ago. And the check was for $30,000. And he said, this is my tithe. And he said to the pastor, I'm not doing this out of obligation. I'm not doing this out of duty. I'm doing this because I'm so grateful to God. And my heart and my life's been transformed. And now I want to give back to Him. Colonel Sanders said this. He said, you know what? My prayers, this is later in his life. He said, my prayers have always been of such thankfulness to God. I can't believe God has been so good to me and I've been a great believer in tithing. And here's the thing, you know, Colonel Sanders didn't do this from out of a religious duty or a sense of just doing the right thing. Colonel Sanders, he discovered that his heart could be changed and transformed from the inside out. And as he was changed and transformed, God transformed him into a giver. God transformed him into a person who actually had a new purpose in his life. And we know that the blessing and success that dominated the rest of his life there as well. Because here's the thing, your heart and your giving are linked. And that's what the principle of the tithe is actually all about. It's about us having our hearts transformed to become just like God. God is the ultimate giver. God is a God who said, I would not withhold even my own son that I would give him up for you. And I believe as you and I are transformed by God, we're transformed into his character, into his image, and into his likeness. And the principle of the tithe, we find it all throughout the Bible. We see it in Abraham. Abraham has this encounter with a guy who's a king, but no one knows. This king comes literally from out of nowhere. Abraham's called the father of faith. And then after this big battle where Abraham has won, he has this encounter with this king. And this king is not only a king, he's actually a high priest. And this king walks into his world, and the Bible says that this king blesses him. So the king puts a blessing on Abraham's life, and then he gives him bread and he gives him wine. And many people believe, and many scholars believe, that's actually the pre-incarnate Jesus. And so we see Abraham here, who's the ultimate father of faith, and in his faith journey, it's like Jesus comes into his life and blesses him. And that's so much what Jesus does. Jesus walks into our life and he blesses. But the Bible says straight after he's received this blessing, his heart's changed. He's had an encounter with God. He says, Abraham, from out of the overflow of his heart, he says, I'm going to give you a tenth of everything I have just won. And we find the principle of the tithe kicks in just where faith kicks in. Jacob, another great man of God in the Bible, he comes to a place where there's ladders and angels, and he has this incredible encounter, this supernatural moment with God. And at the end of that moment, he says, this is none other than the house of God. The place was called Bethel. And he says, from this place, he says, I'm going to make a vow to you, God. I'm going to give you a tenth of all the increase. And so what happens, we find Jacob, he meets God in the house of God, and then he gives God the tithe. And so we find all the way through the Bible the principle of the tithe enacted through so many people's lives. But what about the purpose of the tithe? What's the purpose of the tithe? Well, the purpose of the tithe is very simple. It's to fund the ministry of the house of God. And so when I'm speaking to people and encouraging them to discover the purpose of the tithe in their life, there's two parts to it. First of all, is to discover the promise of the tithe, and that's the opportunity for God to bless our lives. But also as well, it's the vision of the tithe. And the vision of the tithe is that we would be able to do everything that God has called us to do as a church. And when you and I give to God, when every one of us here is involved and we do our part, we find that we are able to do everything that God has called us to do as a church. So the purpose of the tithe is to fund the ministry of his house. What about the promise of the tithe? Well, here's what I want to say to you this morning. You have tithers' rights. In my home, as a dad, I call them father's rights, dad's rights with my children if they have some food. I say, that's part for me. It's a tithe to dad. And I might have a little bit of that. I want to teach them the principle of the tithe. But actually, tithers have rights. They're able to stake a claim on the promises of God. I want to give you three of them this morning. As a tither, you have a promise of peace, a promise of provision, and a promise of protection. So first of all, the promise of peace. And this may possibly be the greatest promise, because so much of the anxiety, so much of the stress we experience happens as a result of money. But when you and I learn to manage and steward our money God's way, we find that this thing called the peace of God begins to fill our heart, because we're learning how to live and to walk by faith. And as you and I learn how to live and walk by faith, particularly in the area of finances, we begin to find peace even when situations and circumstances may be negative or may be challenging, that you and I can walk through them with a peace because our faith has locked into God. You are our provider, and my God, you are our source, and your promise for our life is that you will supply all our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I'm holding on to that promise today. And as I hold on to that promise, I find his peace begins to flow. You have the tither's rights of provision. He says, when you and I bring our tithe. It says in Proverbs 3, it says, then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. That simply means this: God's promise is, I'm going to provide for you. And not only am I going to provide for you, I'm going to provide abundantly for you. And his third promise we get is the promise of protection. Malachi 3:11, he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. So God's saying, he's saying, we have an enemy in life. He wants to devour. He wants to mess things up. He wants to destroy things. He wants us to live in poverty and anxiety in our life. But it says, when you and I, when we bring our giving to God, what happens is God says, I will rebuke the devourer. In other words, God says, I will now stand in between the devourer and you. He says, nothing will harm you. What he's saying is here is that I will push back against every force that would seek to bring poverty or lack into your world, and I will make sure that I will lead you into a place of blessing and abundance. He will provide, but he will also protect us. And so what happens is when you and I give to God, God gets involved. He starts to become the protector, the provider, and the one who can bring peace into our hearts. And we're going to finish with this one. What about the power of the tithe? What's the power of the tithe? Here's what I think is most important. The power of the tithe is it breaks the spirit of mammon over our life. You know, the Bible talks about this thing called the spirit of mammon. You might go, what is that? What's the spirit of mammon? Well, listen, here's a good way to explain it. Some of you might have grown up in an environment where in your family or in your home, that money was the source of a lot of conflict. Money was the source of a lot of trouble. Money was the source of a lot of relationships, even breaking down. The spirit of mammon is a spirit which operates, the Bible says, in our world, which seeks to put money as the master over our life. So the spirit of mammon is trying to draw us away from God so that we wouldn't serve God, but that we would serve money instead. And what the spirit of mammon does, it has a voice which calls out and says, listen, you know what? Only if you have more of me will you find true happiness. Only if you serve me will you discover true fulfillment in life. I can solve your problems. I can look after you. But have you know this morning, that's a lie. Because it's only God that can solve our problems. And it's only God who can give us true happiness and true fulfillment in life. The power of what happens when you and I begin to give to God, when the power of the tithe, is it begins to stop that voice from controlling us, and it can bring us into a place of trusting God. It's establishing this pattern in my life which says, God, I trust you, and money is not going to rule over my relationships, over my mind, over my future. It's not going to cause stress and conflict because, God, we're going to serve you and we're going to trust you and we're going to lean into your promises for our life. And we trust, God, that as we honor and worship you, you will open heaven over our life. You'll supply our needs, and God, you'll help us through every single challenge.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.